Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, stick with me now. We've got a passage in our gospel lesson which talks about two things. Remember when you had bubblegum cards as a kid? And every once in a while you get one of those cards where when you looked at it and you turned it one way, it would have a picture of one thing, and then you turned it the other way and it would be something else altogether, and back and forth it would be. Well, that's kind of like what the Lord Jesus does here. He talks about, on the one hand, the coming destruction of Jerusalem for their rejection of the Messiah. But at the same time, as he's talking about a past historical thing, he's also talking about the end of the world and his second coming. And he's kind of juxtaposing them. Now, why is he doing that? He's doing that because the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, within one generation of his death on the cross, the destruction of Jerusalem is a miniature or a dress rehearsal of the end of the world. So it is the end of the world written small. Therefore, when we read it, we have to see both things. The first thing that Jesus says here is this: when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Right? So he says that there will be a fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel that there would be an abomination of desolation. What is that? Well, in the nation of the Jews, the temple was the center of all worship. If something was placed in the temple, or something happened that caused the temple to be polluted, there could be no worship of God in the temple. When the temple was polluted by something that was a desolating factor, worship could not take place. Well, what does that have to do with the end of the world? Because there is no temple in Jerusalem anymore. What is the temple of the Lord now in our day? The temple of the Lord is the holy Christian church. It is a temple made without hands, built by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the church of the living God is the tabernacle, the temple, and the sanctuary of God. So how is the sanctuary of God polluted in such a way that true worship cannot take place? It is when the doctrine of Christ is so falsified that true faith in Christ is rendered impossible. That is, not just false doctrine on some minor issue, but when every foundational doctrine of the Christian faith is kind of tweaked so that it is now spoiled, and people believe in that tweaked, corrupted, counterfeit version, they cannot be saved because they're believing in a distortion of what is true. This is what Martin Luther said the Pope was all about. What was the Pope busy doing? He was taking the doctrine of Christ in all essential places and he was tweaking it just enough so that to the unwary it looked like there was nothing wrong. But the tweaking that took place in all the major doctrines of the church spoiled people's ability to trust in Christ and the gospel, and the whole gift of salvation was turned into a scheme of meritorious works righteousness. Right? Suddenly, the gift of salvation by grace through faith alone was transformed into a scheme of earning your way into heaven by doing good works. And on one level, you know, it looked like it was still good. But when you look more deeply into it, you see how the corruption was set in so that now the pure doctrine is not taught. Just some kind of spoiled counterfeit is taught. Just like when you see counterfeit money. At first glance, it doesn't look like anything but regular money. But when you look closer at it, you realize it's not even money. So it is with the gospel of Christ. When you tweak the gospel of Christ and counterfeit it, guess what? It's no longer the gospel of Christ. It's not even a gospel anymore. It's a program of self-salvation by good works. So, Jesus says here, when you see the abomination of desolation, when you see this corruption of the pure word of God, get out of Dodge. Get out of there. Get away from it. All right? He says, let him which is in Judea flee to the mountains. What does that mean? It means get away from the kind of false, corrupted gospel that will only, if you get fooled by it, drag you down into hell. Get away. Get far away from it. And gather yourself together with Christians around the word and the sacraments as Christ has given them. Not as the world has corrupted them, but as Christ has given them. Gather together. Now, when the temple in Jerusalem was polluted, the Christians saw this. They remembered the words of Jesus in this text. And they fled from the city of Jerusalem before the Romans came and destroyed the city. And the Christians got out of the city. They got out of Judea. They went across the Jordan River and they dwelt in the wilderness until the time of trouble was past. So it is with us. We are not to traffic in false doctrine. We are not to fellowship in false teaching. We are to flee and to gather together with those of like mind as we gather around the pure word and the holy sacraments the way Jesus gave them and the way Jesus intended them to be done. He goes on and he says this, let him that's on the housetop come not down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. What does he mean by that? What does that have to do with us? Well, what Jesus was saying to the people of the day, when you see the abomination of desolation pollute the temple, don't hesitate. Don't start clinging to earthly things. Don't be indecisive. You know, so often today, I don't know how many times I've had conversations with people. And they mourn and they say, oh, how terrible it is that the church that I belong to no longer believes the Word of God. It no longer is faithful to its originating documents. I realize this, but you know, I've been a member of this church since I was a baby, and I can't leave. Is that the Spirit of God? No, that's worldly loyalty. When a church becomes corrupt and falsifies the word of Jesus, there is only one thing to do. Get out. Flee to the mountains. Gather together with Christians who embrace the pure word of God and the holy sacraments of Jesus, and not the corruptions that the devil has planted in counterfeit churches. But we have false loyalties. We hesitate. We're like that guy on the rooftop. He wants to get out of Dodge, but I got to take my clothes with me. I got to pack a suitcase. Jesus says, don't hesitate. When you see falsehood raise its head, stand against it and cling to the word of God. And don't make excuses for wickedness. All right? He says, woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in the winter and on the Sabbath day. Why? He says, because then great tribulation shall be, such as was not since the beginning of this world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The years preceding the destruction of Jerusalem were years of grave tribulation for the Jews in Jerusalem. So it will be at the end of the age. There will be a time of great tribulation that is unparalleled in human history. Be prepared to cling to God's word alone and to be standing fast in the gospel, so that you will be among God's elect. He says, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. And just like God shortened the time of the destruction of Jerusalem for the sake of God's elect, so the end of the world and the tribulations that precede it will be shortened for the sake of God's elect. All right, so that we see that back and forth between the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD and the time leading up to the end of the world and the day of judgment. And they both back and forth like this. What is Jesus? Is Jesus talking about the destruction of Jerusalem here, or is he talking about the end of the world? The answer is yes. All right? Yes. Then he goes on and he says, listen, if anyone says to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show. Now listen to this. These false prophets and false Christs will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. These false teachers will do fake miracles that will impress the world as wonderfully miraculous, but they won't really be miracles. They will be false counterfeit signs, and they will deceive everyone, but they will not deceive God's elect. Jesus says, behold, I have told you beforehand. All right? Be warned. I've told you about this. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, do not believe it. Why? Because as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's what the second coming is going to be like. That's what it's going to be like when Jesus returns. You won't miss it. You won't have to go out into the desert. You won't have to go into the secret chamber. It'll be obvious. The Lord has come back. And then he closes this section by saying this: for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That's a pretty enigmatic phrase. What does it mean? Well, he's referring to the false Christs and those who follow them. And he says, you see this in nature. If there's a dead body someplace, you look up and there's the vultures and the eagles circling her head. And so you know that wherever there's a dead body, there's going to be those eagles in circles going around. And that's the way it is with false, with spiritually dead people. You know? Spiritually dead people attract false teachers. You know? Well, you know, you think of the guy, lifelong Lutheran, his parents, his grandparents, lifelong Lutheran, but he don't care, you know, he thinks he's beyond religion, so he's decided he's not going to go to church anymore except on Christmas and Easter, and he thinks that everything is fine, and that he doesn't need God, he doesn't need church, he doesn't need the Bible, he's doing fine, and one day the doorbell rings. Hi, we're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we'd like to talk to you about Jesus. And he's thinking, oh, come on in, right? Or, hello, we're from the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, and we'd like to talk to you about the end of the world. And he's intrigued, and guess who becomes a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witnesses? You know, it's never the stalwart, truly believing people in our congregations. It's always those people who yawned themselves to death. They couldn't care about spiritual things when they were hearing the truth. They became spiritually dead backsliders, and one day the false teachers show up. That's what Jesus is saying. Wherever there's a dead body, wherever there are spiritually dead people with no faith, there the eagles will be gathered together. There it is that the false teachers and the false Christs will gather. But there is a real Christ. He has given us a real gospel that comforts hearts and establishes us in the grace of God. He sustains us and calls us and gathers us into his community of the elect. And he will keep us. Cling to the word. Flee from false doctrine. Do not be indecisive about it. Cling to what is good and hold to it. Because in the end, when the lightning shines from the west even to the east, except that this time it's the coming of Christ, you will be ready to receive him with joy in your hearts. Because you have clung to what cannot be shaken. Later on in this passage, Jesus will say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Therefore, if you are founded upon the words of Jesus, you cannot fail. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.